Good evening, listeners. I'm Kai, and welcome to Roots and Wings, a KYRS program sharing the perspectives of immigrants and refugees on education here in Spokane. Hello again to those who have listened before, and welcome to any new listeners. Thank you for tuning in. To give a brief summary of the whole idea behind this show, here we honor the roots, so the culture, heritage, and knowledge that students bring with them, and the wings, the education, opportunity, and support that can help them soar. Each episode, we hear stories and perspectives from different communities about education and belonging, and how teachers and communities can better support every student's journey. Today, we are joined by Mike. Hello, Mike. How are you doing today?
Hello, Kai. I'm doing good. And you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. So, Mike, do you want to first start off by telling the listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're from?
Hello. My name is not Mike. My name is Mykhailo, and this is Ukrainian. It's mean Michael, or but I choose my nickname Mike, and I'm working for a school, Spokane School District. I start working in December 2023 as bilingual specialist in Pepperzak Middle School. Oh. Yeah, so first my role, I was working like for 6 months there, and my role there was to help kids move through the class, to help them adapt, to like to shadow. Actually, I was like their shadow for all the day, to help them succeed in their learning journey and adapt to this new American educational system.
Yeah,
and it was great experience to see, for me to see actually American school from inside, not just it's because right now I moved to my new position. So I started working as a language specialist, Russian Ukrainian language specialist, in a FRAC center. This is Family Registration Orientation Center.
Okay.
Yeah, and I started working there in August 2024. So right now I'm like out of school, but I have a chance to support newcomer families, to help them register to schools. Mm-hmm. I'm helping them also to adapt, tell them all the rules, how everything works here, and answer all their questions, transportations. I do meeting interpretation in schools, and I answer all questions and help families to succeed in your environment. So this is what I'm doing here. But actually, I am also, as we're talking here about like immigrants, I am the same. I am an immigrant. I've been here. It's my third year in the United States. Mm-hmm. So we have been here from August 2024.
Okay. Yeah. How do you like it in the U.S.?
How's it going? It's great.
Okay.
Now I used to, so it's it's easier.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. It sounds like you have a really important job of being like that bridge between the students and their families and the schools. So
yeah, sometimes families, they call me even not about school questions. Recently, one family called me like, how I connect to the internet? Do you know what is a cheap internet here?
Yeah,
I will help you. I know that like income based one, and I show them the, like a link, and like actually they can. It's like one of the resources that we offer in FRAC to help families, not only with school, but if they have other questions, we are always open to help.
Yeah, nice. Just like adjustment in general.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very cool. Okay, so we can get started. Thank you for telling me and the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do. So first of all, can you please inform me and the listeners, what is the current situation in Ukraine?
Yeah, so as I think everyone know, the war in Ukraine is now a fourth year of war in Ukraine. But this conflict starts actually not just 4 years ago, but it's, it has actually a root. So Russia long-term pressure on Ukraine, it dates in 2014 when with annexation of Crimea and fighting in Donbass region. And later, it's more than 10 years actually, the war was in the eastern Ukraine, but it was more like a local conflict, not like like the big war actually we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
So in February 2022, Russia launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine, triggering large-scale fighting, civilian casualties, and destroying of housing and infrastructure. Yeah, so, and it's that causing a lot of refugees start running from Ukraine, and it's United Nations agencies estimates it's about 10-11 millions of Ukrainian displaced at total.
Wow.
And I think most of them, like 6 millions, are in different countries, and about 4 millions are internal refugees. They,
okay,
they moved from the eastern Ukraine to the western,
mm-hmm,
the more safe,
yeah,
space. So we have like a million in Germany, in Poland, and right now I think around like 100,000 also in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly how many Ukrainians are in Spokane, but I think thousands.
Yeah, I looked it up before, and about 3,000 Ukrainians.
3,000, okay.
Yeah,
it's newly arrived. We have a big community that was here already,
okay,
but it's like newly arrived, more than 3,000.
Okay,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's war actually become even worse right now. So it's everyone, when Russia started the war, they said, oh, the war will be like 2 weeks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the war now is 4 years, and no one expected this, you know.
Yeah.
Even I remember my first day when war started, and it's an interesting story. I was just sleeping and I just hear my wife was like crying, the war hasn't started, wake up, why are you sleeping, the war started, they're bombing us, like, and
oh,
it was like, and you like, I opened my eyes and like, okay,
what
to do when war starts?
Yeah.
Do anyone know what to do, like, tomorrow war starts, what are they doing, like,
yeah.
And it's like, okay, I saw in movies that I should run, I should take a water and the bottles, you should,
uh-huh,
you should buy gas, you should buy food. We heard the rumors that war might start, but actually we didn't expect. Like, and it's, and I remember like lines of people on the gas stations.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to the gas station, and some tanks was going through close to my house. You know,
wow,
they was like this, moving tanks around, and it's like scary. You're feeling like tanks going by you, and it's like. Land is shaking, and it's,
yeah,
like, and it's fear and first day, but through the time we just adapt to this, and it's people start like using to wars, and but yeah, it's still become worse, and then the worst thing is we don't see the like how it can end, you know, because,
yeah,
even like a president said we'll end the war in one day, but it's I don't see how we can even end it. What a compromise on this.
Yeah.
No one can find it. No one can, like, it's not easy solution. There's no easy solution for that war, because it's so like deep roots of this.
Yeah.
So you can say like stop fighting. You know, they will. Okay, they can stop for one day, but next day they start again. They will start again. You know, and it's how to make this like long term peace. What is,
mm-hmm,
the most difficult answer? And the people are like all over the world, millions of Ukrainians in all the countries, and some people in Ukraine, and like men, they may not leave Ukraine, they're not allowed to leave Ukraine, just women and children. So, and families with 3 children, they can leave. So,
okay,
yeah, so that is the situation in Ukraine, and right now they're especially. Before the winter, Russia started bombing Ukraine energy infrastructure, and it's I don't know how this winter will be like really difficult for Ukraine, because many electric stations are damaged and there are no light right now. They have just few hours a day,
mm-hmm,
energy in your home, and it's become worse and worse and worse. You know, so.
Yeah, thank you for giving the context on the situation. I hope that peace comes to the region soon, but yeah, that is, It's terrible. So I hope that it gets better in Ukraine.
Yeah, we all believe that this war will be over because it's everyone's tired now. It's like 4 years, so like, it's a long time. And you know, an old generation of like kids, they're growing in this in the war. Like, yeah. 4 years, they didn't see like people who were age of four today. They was born in war.
Yeah, it's so all they know.
All they know is the war. It's like it's awful. Like,
it's terrible. Yeah. So I guess then we can transition towards the people who have come to the United States, specifically to Spokane, and into the Spokane school systems. So because the whole point of this show is to learn about how teachers and mentors can best support Ukrainian students, I want to start by asking you, what are some of the key strengths that you have observed or experienced in working with Ukrainian refugee students and families?
Yeah, so as I already told, like I see the key strengths is Ukrainian adaptability. Mm-hmm. So Ukrainian refugee students and families, they show like remarkable adaptability in adjusting to the new environment, new language, new educational system, new way of life. And they show this in every sense, linguistic, cultural, emotional. And this ability didn't like appear overnight.
Yeah.
So it's deeply rooted in our Ukrainian collective experience as people who faced, overcome countless challenges through the history.
Mm-hmm.
So to more understand about this adaptability, it helps to look back at a little bit of the Ukrainian history.
Okay.
So even like today, like parents, who, families and grandparents, they lived through the collapse of Soviet Union in 1991. I was like also lived in the time of the collapse, and it was a time of tremendous uncertainty. They overnight the entire social economical system changed.
Yeah.
For factory was closed, savings vanished, and families had to reinvent themselves to survive. So people learned new trades, started small businesses, moved around, moved abroad to support their families. So, and one of the other example, like my personal example of this adaptability, like my grandfather, he was taken, but Russian authorities, Soviet authorities, actually, Soviet authorities, and he with his family, they just come one evening to their house, take all the family, and send them to Siberia, to the cold region where they never lived, and they worked as a lamb to like the cutting woods, you know.
Okay.
And it's and then later my grandfather get like 10 years of imprisonment for his face, and it was and later he was realized and he came back, but it's and you should we always through all the history of Ukrainians they were adapt to different harsh condition and they know how to survive, you know. So I think this is why the war is now it's in the fourth year, because they Ukrainians can even adapt to the war. And like also how educational system adapts to this to the wars that are going on, that's interesting. So it's like extraordinary ways. So schools, actually, some of the schools, many of the schools close to the front line, they actually go to the underground.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
So like in Kharkiv, it's like a very big city, and they use like metro stations and bomb shelters as schools.
Oh,
they,
really?
They actually, school is underground.
Yeah.
So because for safety reason, you can't be, because the bomb can, they can drop bomb anytime, so the safe spot only on like deep underground, not just underground, but deep underground.
Yeah, like the metro.
And in other cities also in Zaporizhia, they do like underground schools, and also not just schools adapt to this, but also the teachers and all the programs, they combine instruction with like online, for students who can't attend such schools, mm-hmm. and they adapt curriculum to the more practical surviving topics. Like okay. in math, they may solve problems about resource distributions, and okay. in science class, like about water purification, like yeah. how to repair electric systems, and they have first aid classes, mm-hmm. so they know. In case if you're injured, so you can help other people, and yeah, and teachers starting working not just as a teachers, but also as the counselors, as like mentors to help these traumatized kids, children, you know. So yeah, and also like many other key strengths that like I see in Ukrainians, the educational values. Its education is very highly valued in Ukraine. Okay. And I remember I was, every family, like, if you have a homework, you're sitting with your kid, like, for hours and doing this, because okay. you want your, it's like your main job for your kid to succeed, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
you, people actually, like, we don't have a lot of homework here, but in Ukraine, you know, kids, they got the homework, like,
oh, for,
and it's like, and it's, after school, you should do like for several, even sometimes for several hours, you
wow.
need to do a homework.
Yeah.
And sometimes this homework also, kids are not like very happy about this. So
kids,
parents should sit with their kid and help them to
help
do this.
Them
and
do
it's
it.
Like a second job, you know, sometimes for so somebody is like a second job to do
yeah.
the homework with your kids because
uh-huh.
you don't want the, their kids to not succeed, you know. And
yeah.
Yeah. And like a family, strong family bonds and
yeah.
Like a family play a crucial role in Ukrainian culture. So it's why like, parents doing their homework.
Yeah, again, doing the homework
yeah,
with them. Yeah,
yeah. Cultural richness, community engagement. It's. I think there are many good like strengths, characteristics that help help Ukrainian to survive and to keep their tie with Ukraine and to succeed in any country where they are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. I really enjoyed hearing all of that and learning about these strengths because there are so many. I think the schools underground, like you were talking about, how they've, and that's a perfect example of adaptability. Like you were talking about how they're now teaching about necessity, like water purification and first aid, that like using the resources that they have to teach that is like really important. And also the strong family bonds, I think that's important for teachers to know when working with the students, to know that like it's a whole family unit and they need to form a strong relationship with the parents as well, I bet. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We should, teachers should always like remember who they're working with because what are their background, you know, because some students are actually had a long history of moving through the world. So maybe
yeah.
like they are refugee, not just some of them go to the Poland, go to the Germany. We
okay.
have students and they gave the, like, we had some record, school record from Belgium, from Netherlands,
oh,
from
yeah, yeah, yeah.
different countries. And they like know the different languages in every school. They should learn. And
yeah.
some of them, you know, it's, so sometimes they may feel this frustration. So we need to always be like understandable to feel what they, how they adapt, how
yeah.
they how we can help them the best. Some kids didn't see because some kids really see a bombing, family loss, and you know, and it's
yeah.
more they need more help like with mental with all the kind of in medical help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So some kids are from more comparably safer places, but
okay.
there are no safe places in Ukraine right now. Like
yeah.
recently there were news like in region, I am from Western Ukraine, so it's Lviv, it's like a regional center, and seventh grader student was killed in his home because of the drone.
That's
you know,
terrible.
It was like a few weeks ago, I think. It's
mm-hmm.
And it's 1,000 kilometers from the front line. It's,
yeah.
it's like 30 minutes to the Poland border. You know, it's,
yeah.
And kids are killed there. You know, So it's no safe place in Ukraine.
Yeah, that is tragic. I did want to ask about, you mentioned like the hours of homework that many of the students do when they get home from school. So is that like elementary through high school? Like, do the elementary kids also get homework? Because it is like in the U.S., it's a much lighter load. Like, I think when I was in elementary school, I barely had any homework. So you said that like education is like valued like a lot and there's a lot of homework. But is that just when you get older and you reach higher grades, or does that start like in the younger grades too?
Yeah, in younger grades they get the most.
Really?
Homework. Oh. Homework. The homework, you have homework for all your school life.
Okay.
Actually,
okay.
And it's but it's just parents can help more and control more the youngest kids.
Oh, okay.
And they may know we should do all homework, you know. Because when you're like teenager, it's not so easy like to force you to do homework.
Yeah.
If you can say, oh, we don't have homework today now, and they may trick. And but for younger kids, like, parents are most involved and they try to give them like good foundation, you know, because you learn how to read, how to write, and you got the basic math skills. And parents want to make sure the kids are, and teachers as well, and they give them a lot of homework.
Yeah. Okay, that's good to know. Yeah.
Here, when we came here, my son just graduated elementary school.
Uh-huh.
Because elementary school in Ukraine is first and till fourth grade.
Okay.
Not like here until, and it was a and. He was graduated, you know, graduation party in Ukraine, and now became, you are in elementary school again. He was in the fifth grade. He was in the sixth grade.
Oh, sixth grade.
Yeah, here by the age, and it was last year when sixth grade was in elementary school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in Spokane. Yeah.
So did he get another graduation party?
He was in elementary school again. Why am I in elementary school again? He was not so happy. But he was very happy there, like, not so much homework.
Okay,
He had some, but not so, like, so much in Ukraine.
So I bet he appreciated that.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing about all those key strengths. I really loved learning about that, and I think it's important to know. But I do also want to ask about some of the key challenges. So this could be like social, emotional, medical, educational, or other that Ukrainian refugee students face when they're adjusting to U.S. and U.S. schools.
Yeah, it's a good question, because really there are a lot of different challenges. And even if you have the skill to adapt, the challenges are still here. You need to adapt. So, and there are challenges are like social, emotional. The many Ukrainian students experience like trauma events and witnessing violence, separation. They were separated from family members.
Yeah.
Many families are coming here, like mother and kids, and because father they can't leave Ukraine, you know, and the family are separated, and it's also a big problem, because actually they, you know, it's years past then the family may get like divorced, you know, or destroyed. Also students may struggle feeling of grief, anger, guilt, and they need this emotional support. And the same is like language. Other challenge is like language and culture barrier. It's also it's like maybe overwhelming, because some students actually from the first grade in Ukraine, they students learn English, you know. So it's the easiest language. It's not like you go to the like Norway and you should learn totally like new language. You have some skills, and I think this is the most like benefit thing that they can have in America, because they have some foundation. They don't learn English from zero, you know. So, but still, it's like academic English, you know, not just. And they need to adapt to this, and here I like this about Spokane schools. that we have these ELD classes here. We have newcomer centers. So if you and we check the student, we do a test for a student, check what is the English level, and put them on the class of their proficiency. So, so it's a great idea. So to help them on their level, you know.
Yeah.
So, so as I was working, I mentioned in newcomer center. We had students with zero English, you know, some students, and it's but at the end of the year, they was able to, like, their level was like much higher. Was able to read, to speak. It's so I like that they about this system, so they may adapt to this, and it's easier for them. Some students will learn them like letters, you know. A, B, C, the alphabet, and started from the beginning. And also, other challenges like educational disruptions. Some kids may from front lines. There are no schools. We have some big cities that have this underground school, but some schools are destroyed. There are no school at all. You know, they're like kind of online, but sometimes no energy, no internet or electricity, and it's like, and you don't have any school, you know, and. And people are moving from country to countries, and in some countries they may also not, like, you know, they're not enrolled, and they move to the other country, you know, and they moved, and and the other thing is, they feel, many Ukrainians that I see here, they feel like homesick, and they like this uncertainty. The last thing that even recently came, like, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. I think it's not just for Ukrainians, for everyone in this world, but you don't know what tomorrow will bring. But this is also challenges. So even today we had in our FRAC center, we do CBC testing. It's we test students for a second language, you know, to give them credit for high school, you know, for a second language. And students do write about your friend, like assignment, write about your friend. And I was reading these stories about this, about friends of Ukrainian kids even today. I was doing this 2 hours ago. And it's like sometimes you're reading this and you may feel, you may start crying, you know, because under every this assignment, it's just a real story of life, right? The students, they write about their friends, friends that they had in Ukraine, how they were separated, and it's just so heartbreaking.
Really,
you
heartbreaking.
Can even what, and you just, what is going on? You know, why is this wise adult people, they start killing each other, and kids, like, you know, they should go through all this loss and separation, you know. And also I see many family Ukrainians, they are so homesick. One of the students in newcomer center, she was actually was doing her Ukrainian online class during the, she got her computer for assignment in school, and she was doing her Ukrainian online school, just in case, you know, we don't know where you're tomorrow, maybe you go back. And families also have this, and Ukrainians who are here, they can't leave. Like in Europe, you may go to Ukraine, go back, you know. You may go. Here, you're not allowed to go out. If you go out, you can't come back.
If you leave the U.S.
Yeah, most Ukrainians are paroled. It's a program called United for Ukraine.
Okay.
So this is you are paroled for a year, and then you apply for next year, you know. But you're not, you may apply for emergency, if you need some emergency, but it's very complicated process, expensive, and most Ukrainians, they just don't go anywhere abroad. So, so this is, and also it's add to this homesickness, you know. It's now I'm third year here, I can't go to. My cats are in with my wife's sister in Italy, you know, even some of my relatives. You can't see them, they can't come here, you can go there.
Yeah.
Because it will be way on one-way trip.
No, that is definitely tough. And then for the homesickness, is there anything that teachers could do in the classroom to try and help with this? Like any practices or lessons or holidays even to incorporate in the classroom to maybe make it feel a little bit more like home?
Yeah, we did some in a newcomer center. We did some activities like there were different students from different countries. Mm-hmm. It was kind of mixed beginning middle school students, almost elementary middle school. So they did an assignment like do a picture of your favorite place in your country. I was showing them on the big screen, show me where your home is in the like Google Maps, you know. They really liked this idea. Aww. Like they opened, this is my home. Their peers, you know, how they and they showed them my home. It was so funny, you know. It's and they some of them, like for them, even see the Google Maps. It was even something that they never sees before, you know. Such like cultural activities, like with art. We was decorating the doors with flags of each country, you know. Everyone was doing like, it's some simple
small
things
stuff,
but
like that,
so they can show their culture. They may show for I don't know, maybe the different ideas for higher high school students, but of course, like if elementary, middle school, this may work, you know. And
in the classroom that I spent some time in, a newcomer's classroom, and our teacher, the teacher, like she loves to just like ask questions no matter what the lesson is, like how it relates to their home country. So like I was teaching a lesson the other week and we were talking about rainstorms, and we would just ask all the students like, what are rainstorms like in your country? And how do you say that in your language? And they love it. Like they love to be able to talk about home and things that they miss or that they just think is like better than the US. They're like, oh, back home we have this and you don't have that here. Yeah. Like they just really enjoy talking about that. So I think just like you were talking about bringing in, like it seems small, but it probably means a lot to them.
Yeah, sure. We also did some assignment like that. How this world will be in your language, or this introduce yourself in your language. Like it's even for kids, if they are like different languages in classroom, to hear it's also to express themselves, let them give them space to express, to show them their where they are from. You know, not just you're sitting here randomly, but you are had a history, you have some experience, and it's good ideas to implement this.
Definitely. I agree. And then the next question is, and we did touch on this, but if you want to add anything, what types of diverse educational backgrounds exist for students arriving from Ukraine or arriving from other countries but originally born in Ukraine?
Yes, I think this question we partially already gave answer to this question, but to add something like students... some students arrive directly from Ukraine. They have a like strong academic foundation. If you're doing homework every day, you have a strong academic foundation anyway.
Definitely.
There's no way to know. And it also shows that education in Ukraine is highly valued. Mm-hmm. And in Ukraine, the core subjects are more emphasized, like math, science, literature, language, and also, like foreign languages studies, like as I told, English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but as I also told, many had this disruption in education, starting from the COVID. Then it's just school just opened and the war started. You know,
yeah.
And it's like combined double effect. You know, so and some students are maybe like behind. You know, and some of students even may feel. They may have some knowledge, but they doesn't see, like it's more mentally, they don't see the reason why they need this knowledge anymore, you know, because it's world is so like cruel and, you know, so it's like, why I need all this, you know, in my life. So they may have this like fear and and other students, they have different... the student, as I told you about, she was doing her Ukrainian classroom. She is now in Turkey.
Yeah.
She's not in the United States anymore. He was in Germany before.
Okay.
Yeah, so people move in different countries, you know. And right now she is probably learning Turkish language, you know.
Yeah.
And you may understand the students, you know. And if student says, okay, why he's not wanted to do this or some, you know, this assignment or go to school or whatever,
yeah,
it's because of all this background, mm-hmm. you know. It's and all students are different. Some are like they was in compared with safe place and they may be like just fine.
Yeah.
But some you just need to know what is the history behind this student.
Definitely.
Yeah. What is this, particularly this student background, not just like all students. We can't say like at all, like we are from a safe place, like my city, like comparably safe. But some are like, they don't know, town is totally destroyed, you know.
Yeah.
There are no school, nothing. As students here, their house, their home is destroyed. Everything is destroyed. There are nothing. No, there are no way back, you know. And
yeah.
And he has a different background than like other students. It may be like pretty like fine, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah.
It's different. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to like have that context on the students of like, sometimes people are quick to jump to like, they don't care about school or they're giving up or it's like that kind of like situation. But in reality, like you were saying, like they're dealing with so much that that's what's affecting them. So as a teacher, it's like really important to know that and come at them with patience.
No, who
and
is
understand.
The student? Who is the student? Ask questions.
Get to know
it's
them.
Get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
It will also help, really, really help.
Yeah. I'm also curious about, so like the different teaching models and if they're the same in the U.S. and in Ukraine. So like, for example, in the U.S., sometimes, like a teacher, you know, the teacher mm-hmm. seen as like, they know all the information and they dispense it to the students. And mm-hmm. it's kind of like lecture based. Mm-hmm. And then in other models, it's like the teacher and the student work together to help the student figure out the knowledge by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it like in Ukraine? Is it like a teacher led or a student led? And is there a weird like transition uh-huh. for students?
Yeah, so is this Ukrainian educational system somewhat different from United States educational
mm-hmm.
system? So I already told like we have a like elementary from first to fifth grade.
Yeah.
Then we have a like middle school, we may say middle school from fifth grade to nine.
Okay.
To nine, and high school just 11 years.
Oh.
Now Ukrainian school want to also move to 12 years
yeah.
studying, but it will be like 3 years. It will be 10, 11, 12. High school
okay.
will be like 3 years. But it's, and grading different. We don't have AF, but we have like from 1 till 12. Grading is 1, 12,
mm-hmm.
and like 12 is A.
Oh, it's middle,
yeah.
okay.
So it's different system of,
yeah.
yeah. And the most different, that like the biggest difference, classes are organized like with cohorts, and you have your if you have your classmates, you may start with one group of kids from first grade, and you may graduate at grade number 12 or
mm-hmm.
11, you know? And it's your family, you know.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
cohort become your family, and even we have after school sometimes these classes are like we celebrate 20 years of graduation, you know.
Yeah.
I was on a 20 years graduation party of my class, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, I know where all my, like, friends from my classroom, where they are, you
Aww.
Know. So it's
yeah.
it's really different because students here, they they think that they will be in a similar classroom.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay, every class is different people,
uh-huh.
you know, and they're like, oh what
yeah.
is it? Yeah. And they don't have this, you know, maybe they sometimes some students need this, you know, like help, you know, but it's a little bit different here. And other things that also, how classes are organized, we have, like for one semester, we have six, seven classes every day, and they're different every day. They're not same here. Like, but many families ask question like, why we have the same schedule every day? How is it possible?
Yeah.
How is it? And for me, it was like, what? The same classes every day.
Every
it was
day.
First,
yeah.
like, culture shock for me was. Yeah.
Definitely.
In Ukraine, it's different. Like, every day it's different, but you have this week, you know, and this week for one semester, the same week. And it's like 5 day weeks, you have a mass, 3 days a week, like literature, 2 days PE, totally like mixed up. Everything mixed. Yeah. So you, sometimes you need to write your schedule to remember, you know, you do not like you remember one time and for one semester it's not working like this. And we don't have lockers in Ukraine.
Oh, no lockers.
Students, yeah, they usually carry their school bags with them in their homeroom. Yeah, younger students, they live in the homeroom, and they do like school state tests on fours at the end of each school, like for elementary school, middle school, and high school. Students also do a lot of memorization. That the things that I didn't see here, students like. They should memorize poems, text, even like just usual text, you know. just tell me this text exactly as it is in the book.
Okay,
and you need to memorize it, you know. It's sometimes long paragraph, you know. And as you ask if it's like lecture based or project based, it's more like lecture based.
Okay.
Students are more like, it's more like strict environment. You are sitting, you're not allowed here to go and sharpen your pencil 10 times, 10 times in one class. You are sitting and you like raise your hand, ask if you want something and then do this. And you just don't stand, don't walk, don't feel more relaxed. It's just more strict environment in Ukrainian school, like. In my time when I was in school, you stand up when teacher comes. Everyone stand up. Everyone like, sit down when teacher out. Yes, yeah. More like strict system. And sport not so much emphasized as here. We have sport teams. Everyone in sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Ukraine we have this, but it's not so like so important.
So not so central.
Not so central. Like we have a like. Between the classes we have like not just 4 minutes break, we have like 10-15 minutes break.
The thing
that people at first, what, we don't have even time to get there. So they used to have 15 minutes to 10 minutes, you know, they can play, they can, you know, relax. So it's like 4 minutes for them is something like also cultural shock. I think this is like the main differences between school systems and after school, after the middle school, students may go to the vocational schools. Actually, in Ukraine, I was working for a vocational school, like for a professional school, you know, or choose to go to the high school.
Yeah.
Like high school is not mandatory. Like you may choose. It's like professional school here. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, but everything else, it's school. You still need to learn.
Very interesting to learn about. Just things that wouldn't even come to my mind, like the break between classes. Like, that's a big change. You're used to like having some time to chill, talk to your friends. But you get here, it's like, oh, off to the next class. Go. So stuff like that.
But I don't remember if they have like a long break. Here we have a like lunch break. Here our kids when we came here, I don't know if it was how it was before, but we had free lunches at school. Like every kids had free lunch at school right now.
Oh,
in Spokane. Before it was not like this, but for us it was it's something that is we never had this in Ukraine, you know.
Yeah.
So. It was also like a great help for families here, you know.
That's
so, you know,
super
that
nice.
It was a nice program.
It does depend on the state.
It's different states. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm from Massachusetts, and we had to pay for our lunch at the school. But I think hopefully, if that could get to every school, that would be amazing. I think it's really helpful to students and the families.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I also wanted to ask about the difference, like the different languages that students come in speaking. So if they speak Ukrainian and Russian, just Ukrainian, like other languages that some of the students speak.
Yeah, so in Ukraine, we have a main language is like Ukrainian.
Okay.
And it's like official language, Ukrainian. And all schools do like official language in schools, using Ukrainian as official language. But in central and eastern part, before war, most people were speaking Russian.
Okay.
Most people, I think. Right now, after war, some people are shifting and they don't want to use Russian anymore because of the hate, all the hate, you know, all that happening. But still, I think the most big part of the population of central eastern Ukraine, they use Russian language. And but everyone, like I can say, everyone understands Ukrainian because the languages are really similar. If you know Russian, you understand Ukrainian. If you know Ukrainian, you understand Russian.
Okay.
You understand. The problem, some people can speak so fluently. Usually students, they speak both languages. But in some part, if you are from like some part of Western Ukraine, kids may not speak Russian. Mm-hmm. They may understand, but they don't speak. But in the same is in Eastern Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have some students who don't like, who choose their primary language Russian on application. Some are choose Ukrainian. So, but most of them, when we do the CBC, they mentioned the CBC testing. Some students do like both languages. They are fluent in both languages, Russian and Ukrainian. So, and it's because for the last couple of years, studying in schools are in Ukrainian. So all students, they know Ukrainian.
Okay.
They may know, but may prefer Russian.
You know? Okay. Yeah. Interesting. And then on that topic, are there like differences between the regions in Ukraine? So like Eastern and Western, are there any differences in that would shape a student's identity or their experiences?
Yeah, it's a region is also like play a crucial role in newcomer centers. I already mentioned a few times. I had a student from Crimea. You know, Crimea was annexed in 2014 by Russia. And students, I mean, like, where are you from? You know, teacher asked. Students, where are you from? Like, one day he answers that he is from Ukraine. Other day he answers that he is from Russia.
Yeah,
you know, and it's so it's just other. So even some kids they don't know now where they are from, when they are from. You
that's
know,
that's confusing. Yeah,
Because officially, if you look at Google Maps, it's Ukraine. You know, this is Ukraine, but it's controlled for many years now by Russia. And it's. But in if you take all Ukraine, eastern part more industrialized, western part more like pro-European, and it's more connected. You know, if you're close to Europe, you lean more to Europe. If you're eastern part are close to Russia, they more lean to Russia. So, but generally, it's like no big difference. You know, it's just. Just Ukrainians, and they may be patriotic, you know, in eastern Ukraine or in western. So it's just depend on personality, you know. We have mountains on the western part where I live on that place, and more like heavy industrialized in the eastern Ukraine. There, why the front line goes through all these industrial regions. It's like so it's easy for Ukraine, more easy Ukraine for defense. You know, it's not just a like plain land, you know, it's more like factories, like heavy factories, coal mines, and it's like, you know, it's so easy, more easy to defend. This land.
Nice. And then another question is, what supports are available for families and how can educators refer them to appropriate services?
Yeah, so for about support, if the student needs support, our Frog Center is, as I mentioned, like first thing, first like place where they get support, like if you're speaking about the schools, we start registration with the Frog Center. We help them to register for a bus, for busing. we can explain them where to find help, even, you know, like some social services, mm-hmm. when they can find clothes, you know, when they just coming here. And also we have a lot of like online resources and social, on social medias for Ukrainians. They may like, we have a special like on the one of the messengers, they a group of like Ukrainian refugees in Spokane, like, and okay. They may ask any questions,
yeah,
in Ukrainian and Russian, and they may get the answer, or they may get referral to, and also like agencies or like World Relief, mm-hmm. other agencies. We have also here Spokane Slavic Association.
Okay.
It's a organization, nonprofit organization that helps that helps families. It's like kind of thrift stores where the families may get some stuff for free.
Yeah.
And they have also like seminars, you know, about different like, okay, about medical insurance, an example, yeah, about where you can get like housing help or what,
any
any questions, like seminars about different, even about business right now. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, some families may start like business and they know how to start it, how to start working, about jobs, about all these things. And also it's a wide range of churches here, like, okay, Russian, Ukrainian speaking. A lot of churches. I never expected there's so many of them here.
Yeah.
And many Ukrainians are there, and they have like also communities there for yes meetings, for clubs. You know, mm-hmm. They may find friends. You know, the socialization. You can be like, where you can find friends. You know,
community building.
In Ukraine, it's more like walkable place. You know, people go outside and they hang around. It's here is like if you live somewhere far away. You know, in like, and you don't have transportation, you know, there it's more difficult,
especially for young,
for kids, yeah. But here they may have different like groups, you know, for kids, for, and they have this like communication. And and there recently also we started a non-profit organization. It's like Spokane Ukrainian School.
Okay.
It's also so and there are around 50 Ukrainian kids there. It's like one day school, but
nice.
The kids can learn their Ukrainian language, culture, art.
That's amazing.
History,
yeah.
even work in teams, you know, for more like for mental health, you know, for they have the oldest groups. So this is also one of the resources.
Okay.
It's great because in United, I never expected that we have here so many different resources for people, for different group of people. So it's great.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
That's great.
We don't have this in Ukraine. In Ukraine, you need to survive. You know, if you don't, mm-hmm. you should know something. Or, but here it's I am very happy to see this, that people care.
Yeah. I'm happy that you have that. That's a good network to connect people with. So we do have about 2 minutes left.
Oh.
I know, time flies when you're having great conversation. But I did want to just ask if there's anything we haven't gotten to talk about yet that you would like to share before we wrap up.
Yeah. The last thing last advice for I want to give to educators in mm-hmm. classroom, I think it's make your classroom like a safe and welcoming place by being patient.
Okay, yeah.
Like show your empathy and just listen and try to, not just listen, try to hear what is behind this student. And by doing this, you'll build this relationship of friendship and understanding, and it will help the students a lot.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was a great way to wrap it up. I just want to say a big thank you to you for coming on the radio show and talking with me. It was an honor to hear everything you had to say and learn from you. And I'm glad that I now know this information, and down the line when I'm a teacher, and if I have a Ukrainian student, I'm glad that I got to talk with you and I know more about them now.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me and for this opportunity to share. And thank you.
Yeah, of course. It was lovely to meet you. And for the listeners, thank you for tuning in. You can tune in next Monday as well to hear more from Roots and Wings. Thank you all, and have a great rest of your night.
Bye.
Bye.